Okay, everybody, workday's over.
This is the best of the OG with Ovius and Giglio podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Brought to you by Capital Financial Advisory Group. Get your total retirement income plan by texting JOE to 21000. Enjoy the best of today's show. Here's Ovius and Giglio.
Regardless, it was sometime this weekend. I open up Twitter, and I see Trevor Lawrence, former Clemson quarterback, presumptive number one pick in the NFL draft, with a series of tweets having to explain himself for some comments that were made in a Sports Illustrated profile. It reads, quote, "It seems as if people are misreading my sentiment. I am internally motivated. I love football as much or more than anyone. It is a huge priority in my life, obviously. I am driven to be the best I can be and to maximize my potential and win," all caps. Again, this was like in a series of tweets on Saturday morning. He continued, "I have a lot of confidence in my work ethic. I love to grind and to chase my goals. And you can ask anyone who has been in my life. That being said, I am secure in who I am and what I believe. I don't need football to make me feel worthy as a person. I purely love the game and everything that comes with it, the work, the team, the ups and the downs. I'm a firm believer in the fact that there is a plan for my life, and I'm called to be the best that I can be, whatever I am doing. Thanks for coming to my TED Talk, LOL." That was Trevor Lawrence. And all of this was because he had to explain himself, because he, his dad, and his high school coach basically said he's got a healthy outlook on life. Like, it's like football, if he walked away from football, he'd be fine. If he didn't win a Super Bowl, he'd be fine. This was interpreted, Giglio, as a weakness for Trevor Lawrence because he didn't want it.
It was the Super Bowl comment, right?
Yeah. It was a Super Bowl thing. Like, the Super Bowl is not his singular focus, and if he didn't win one, well then, I mean, this is what I'm playing. That's what you should be playing for.
So I feel like this is like one of those examples of normally when you scout a player, you go watch him in person.
Mm-hmm.
And now they have two pro days, Joe. But just in case you don't get a chance to go see, like, and I'm trying not to sound pretentious here when I talk about, there is a difference between watching a game on TV,
yeah,
and going to a game.
Absolutely.
And actually, at Clemson, when you go to a game at Clemson, the press box is outside.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's a difference between at Carter Finley Stadium, you're way up there. You're like in a glass case almost.
And
you don't really get the true experience, to be perfectly honest with you. At Clemson, you're outside. You hear them. I mean, this is not Boston College. There are 80,000 people there. You get a lot more out of it, is what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
And maybe the scouts didn't go to games this year. I can't explain it because, Joe, literally, the very first time I saw Trevor Lawrence throw a football in person in 2018, we can call Luke Tkach right now, and he said the same thing, and he can vouch for me. I said, that's what the number one pick in the NFL draft looks like. He threw an out that only went for 10 yards to T. Higgins, but, Joe, it traveled 50 yards in the air.
Yeah.
And it was on a dead line.
It was funny.
You
wanted to remind yourself of that play, so you pulled it up on YouTube.
Yes.
And you were like, come over here. Come watch this. Because this is where I watch this. Look at that. It's a missile. Like, look where he is on the hash.
Yeah.
Look where he got it to. And then, to prove your point, you showed me Ryan Finley.
And then Ryan Finley's first pass, which was an out to the short side of the field and was a lollipop.
It was a little softer.
But still, Ryan Finley was a draft pick, and we knew that Ryan Finley was going to be an NFL player, and you could see the difference. You could see the difference.
Here's the issue. Everybody understands he's the number one pick in the draft. He's been the number one pick in the draft for so long.
But everyone should have that type of experience to understand why, is what I'm getting at.
Sure.
Right? Like, I covered 40 Ryan Finley games, and I knew he would be an NFL player, but I knew he wasn't that special.
Well, it was the same experience we had when Mitch Trubisky went where he went in
sure.
the draft. We all of us were like, huh?
Number two?
Oh, okay. When Daniel Jones got picked up by the Giants, we all went, what? Okay. Because we spent more time watching them here locally. But this is what, you know, those two pro days.
Yeah, the
second interviews
one, Joe, really get you on the second pro day.
You know, eating tape, watching the fun, all that stuff. You can fall in love with a guy. Regardless, the reason why we're here with Trevor Lawrence and he has to explain himself is because of the draft industrial complex.
Yeah.
There's
a longer run up to it now, too.
The run up is insane. I feel like much, for instance, how often have we talked about in the past that with preseason polls, we should eliminate preseason polls? Or you do a preseason poll, and then there's not a new ranking for how many weeks?
Well, yeah. or just throw it out in week one once you see some games.
But some people have a hard time throwing it out.
Yeah.
That's why people have said, all right, you get your preseason poll to kind of get the juices going, get an idea of where you think teams are going to be, and then in 5 weeks you come out with an actual ranking because you actually have seen them play. I think the same thing can be said about draft coverage in that, you know what, we should have a moratorium on draft talk. We should. Because we've been having the same conversation about the NFL draft since the Super Bowl ended.
Yeah.
There's nothing new that has occurred. We've known Trevor Lawrence is the number one pick. So what ends up happening is he does a profile, people glom on one particular statement that he made, and now we have to start wondering, well, for the number one pick, are we sure he's not going to be a bust? This is why I like Trey Lance. As though you've really watched a lot of Trey Lance. But it's gotten to the silly point where ESPN's got coverage on this, and Jeremy Fowler goes on ESPN to give us an update on how the Jacksonville Jaguars and Trevor Lawrence, who we know they're going to take, have had a conversation about things and where they stand. And it was the Jaguars aren't worried about the Sports Illustrated piece, huh?
Well, Nicole, I asked around on this, and the Jacksonville Jaguars have no issues with Trevor Lawrence's willingness and drive to be great. So these two sides have spent significant time on Zoom meetings in the last few months just to get to know each other. They've talked about football. They've talked about life. They've talked about the playbook. And both are in a really good place, a place of excitement. And Lawrence, in fact, is excited what Coach Urban Meyer will bring, trying to maximize players in his first year as an NFL head coach. I spoke to somebody close to Lawrence this weekend. They said, look, the guy's been under a microscope as one of the best players in the country for about 5 to 6 years coming out of high school. This is just the way he compartmentalizes and deals with things to find a life balance. But make no mistake about it, Urban Meyer took this job in Jacksonville largely because of Trevor Lawrence. I spoke to an exec this weekend who said, Meyer, if the Jacksonville Jaguars were picking second, he might be coaching the University of Texas right now, making $10 to $12 million a year. He has coveted Lawrence for the last few years, dating back to watching him in Clemson in the playoffs 2 years ago. And quick injury update on Lawrence. He had that shoulder surgery on the non-throwing shoulder a couple months ago. I'm told he's already been throwing the ball for a few weeks now. He's still eyeing a training camp return.
Wow, there's like so much to unpack from that Jeremy Fowler report on ESPN. They're in a good place right now. They've had some conversations. Have they been dating?
This is about packaging, right?
Yeah, it is.
This is about what Trevor Lawrence looks like. I mean, let's be honest. He's a good-looking guy.
Sure.
But he's not like ruggedly handsome like Jimmy Garoppolo or Tom Brady. Like he's got the long hair. He's got the blonde hair.
He's no Yanni Hockenpah, all right? Thor out there, you know? No, I know.
When we look at the packaging, we would label him as soft based on the packaging.
It's funny you mention that because Bart Scott, who's been doing ESPN, I've caught a bit of Bart Scott with Han and Scott on ESPN Radio when they were filling in for Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. And when this story first came out about the Sports Illustrated thing, Bart Scott lit him up. And to your point about the packaging, the long hair doesn't look like he really cares. He has an aloof nature to him. This does not sit well with people. I mean, look, I can speak from experience on this because people typically look at me as some sort of like aloof dude who ultimately doesn't care, which is not true. I mean, I am secretly competitive. The minute I find out you don't want to lose to me in something like that, that's when I start going in, right? This is true. It's true. Rand's like laughing at me, but I know myself. Like typically it's like, Ovi's just like, he doesn't really seem to care. Like nothing moves and blah, 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 blah. No. There are things that will get me going, including that. But like Bart Scott, to your point about packaging, brought this up about him going to Jacksonville. He's like, he's only lost two games like since high school or whatever it is. He's going to be losing a lot of games in Jacksonville, and that chip on his shoulder is going to develop.
Trevor Lawrence don't have a chip right now. But when you go to Jacksonville and you get the hell beat out of you and people say the reason that why the team ain't winning is because you suck, and you're like, no, my teammates suck. That's why he's going to get a chip. He going to get one. You ain't got one now. It's like one of the, oh, you're going to learn. You're going to learn, Trevor. You're going to learn to get a chip because you are about to be doubted. And you, for the first time, you only lost two games in high school. You're going to lose two games in your first 2 weeks.
That was Bart Scott on ESPN Radio. So that kind of speaks to your point about the packaging of Trevor Lawrence, as though he isn't going to be fired. Like he already isn't fired up to go out and win now. Like that'll develop when he loses a couple times.
I also think his physical tools are being vastly underrated. Yeah. I've had one conversation with David Cutcliffe about Trevor Lawrence, and he just gushed and gushed and gushed about his core and his legs. Like these are the things an actual quarterback savant notices. Because I actually had this conversation with him after the 2018 season.
Yeah,
and Duke had played them as well, and he could not have been more impressed with that little physical tool, not the arm strength, mm-hmm. which he says all starts with your core and your base. So look, I think Trevor Lawrence is going to be really, really good. Does that mean he's going to be a Hall of Famer? Does that mean he's going to win multiple Super Bowls? No, none of us know that, Joe, because it still is the Jacksonville Jaguars who are running the show. Like, and Urban Meyer's going to be there for how many years? What's the over-under on Urban Meyer's tenure in Jacksonville? If he gets to his third season, I'd be stunned.
I was gonna set it at 3.
Yeah, if he gets to year 3, I'll be stunned.
All right. I'll give it four. So late Sunday and all day today, all the people that I know who are really into international soccer have been losing it up front. I don't get wrapped up in UEFA Champions League. I have not adopted a Premier League team. Our friend Luke DeCock tried to explain to me that I would like Everton for a variety of reasons. Regardless, up front, I do not care that much about international soccer. But what I do care about is the economics of sports. And what's happening in European soccer right now, I find fascinating. The bottom line in the last 24 hours of the news cycle is that elite-level European soccer clubs want to form what they're calling a Super League. 12 of the biggest clubs in the sport, we're talking Manchester United, Real Madrid, Tottenham, Liverpool, Man City, Chelsea, Arsenal, right? I mean, there's a bunch of these teams. These all sound familiar to you, even if you're not into soccer that much. So the 12 biggest clubs in the sport want to form their own league, their founding league. And they want it to get to 15 founding members. This is where Bundesliga, the German league, Bayern Munich, would be involved. I think they're recruiting Bayern Munich to be one of these founding clubs. So they would have up to 15 founding members, basically clubs that share profits like NFL teams. And then they would add 5 on a rotating basis, dependent upon whatever qualifying process they decide to implement. That would lead to 2 10-team scheduling rotations and a playoff. Now, my American brain sees this, and I go, well, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, if you want to make more money in international soccer, well, why wouldn't you do more of like what we do here in the States, where you package yourself together, you run your own tournament, the television rights would go through the roof, the rich teams get richer, and you can leave the rest of it to the other clubs that don't make as much money. It just, you know, streamlining makes a lot more sense. During the break, you were like, this sounds a lot like the BCS in a way. A little bit.
I didn't know Stan Kroenke, the Glazer family, and the Fenway group were behind this.
Oh, yeah, dude. This is American thought. And JP Morgan Chase is financing it, an American financer. This is all American.
I didn't know they were big Clemson, Alabama, and Oklahoma fans, Ohio State fans. Because this sounds like, to me, a group getting together and saying, we spend the most money, we're the biggest names, we should be in the playoff every year.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to create our own little thing so we can be in the playoff every year. Central Florida, Boise State, you go stand over there in the corner. You look so pretty over there.
Yeah.
Don't come bother us. Mm-hmm. We don't want to compete with you. What's funny about you saying my American brain is the single most American concept in all of sports is regulation and promotion and deregulation, right? Oh, even the little guy, Joe, all you need is a chip and a chair.
Well, it's funny you mention that.
Even the little guy can win the Premier League.
Right.
Even the little guy can move up. He can start at Division 3, go to Division 2, then all of a sudden he's in the Premier League, and voila, we have a bad Jimmy Fallon movie.
Yeah.
Look, we made it, Ma.
Funny you mention that, because the great irony of American ingenuity is that when it comes to sports, we don't want things.
Notre Dame doesn't want any part of Central Florida. Get the heck out of here.
All the things that you just mentioned, things that we hold dear as American values, you work hard, it pays off, your little guy can come up and surprise you. No, none of that exists in sports. Everybody wants to make money the same. It's
at least in these soccer leagues, though, that there is access to it. There is a chance at it. It's not a theoretical. It's an actual chance.
European soccer is based on a pyramid system of a bunch of independent clubs that all kind of gather together with different federations, including the big one, the UEFA Champions League, which has expanded over the years, right? I think since 1955, it's been a much larger thing. Regardless, if you succeed at one level in European soccer, you get promoted to the next level. If you struggle, you get relegated down. I mean, we joke about this in the ACC. Hey, Boston College, you can't get your act together in basketball. Well, guess what? That just means now that, I don't know, a SoCon team gets elevated to the ACC or the Big South
UNCG's
team gets...
UNCG's in this year.
Right. Like, yeah. that we joke about this, right. But it never happens. This actually happens.
Well, why doesn't it happen?
Because of money.
And you're not going to... It's like the NFL, if they ever tried, or the NBA, if they ever tried to do something like this.
Mm-hmm.
In those two leagues, you can't spend money in the billions, Joe, and then say, well, you know, if you have a down year, if you have injuries, or if you're just not that good, you know, next year you're going to be playing against Tulsa and Portland Tech. And you're like, huh? No, man, I'm playing Clemson and Alabama every year. Are you kidding me?
So the problem is, and the reason why this has had such a backlash to it, is that what I just referenced, the pyramid system,
yeah.
Relegation, being promoted, the fact in the Champions League. Like, I have a friend, Paul, who was super geeked out about the Champions League.
Not the Courage coach.
No.
Okay.
He was super geeked out that one of these big clubs.
I don't know who your friends are.
That's fine. One of these big clubs had to go play one of these playoff games at the small venue of, like, a city team. It's the equivalent of the Yankees in an open tournament would have to go to the DBAP to play the Bulls. Like, the full-on Yankees team, although given the way the Yankees are playing
They might be, yeah.
The Bulls might beat them. I don't know. The point is, it sets up those kinds of stories. Or it's kind of like the NCAA tournament where a team like Loyola Chicago can upset the big dogs and find themselves in a Final Four, right? That's what is at the fabric of European soccer. I understand why European soccer fans hate this very idea of Americanizing, profits only, always being in a playoff and everything else. There's another way to make this abundantly clear. This isn't even realignment, right? Anybody who's been a college fan around here knows all about ACC expansion, bringing in Boston College, Pitt, Miami, Louisville, the repercussions that came through that, where Maryland decided to leave for the Big Ten, Rutgers went with them, the fact that Texas flirted with leaving the Big 12, all those things we're familiar with, but we're only talking about it on the level of conferences, okay? This would be the equivalent of Duke and Carolina, Kentucky, Kansas, give me some other...
Ohio State.
Gonzaga, right?
Michigan.
If they want to be involved with this. Basically, give me your 16 top dog college basketball programs. The Blue Bloods, all right? All deciding, hey, screw all of you. We're going to do our own tournament during the NCAA tournament. This would not be the NCAA tournament. This wouldn't even be the NIT. You know how we joked about Duke and Michigan State and Kentucky do that Champions Classic? Expand that out to a 16-team tournament that happens at the same time the NCAA is trying to do the Sweet 16. That's essentially what these guys are doing. They're going to compete directly with the Champions League. And people are understandably mad. Now, the hilarious part of this is the people who are doing the Super League are citing instability that was caused by coronavirus, the pandemic, right? Never mind that this has been something that's been kicked around for a long time. This has been kicked around the same way that we talk about the Power Five college conferences breaking off from the NCAA. They're basically blaming the existing European football economic model. They made the case that their plan would be good for the game overall. No, you're disrupting the very fabric of what makes your game fun for European cities. What you're doing is actually bettering your profit margins. Hard stop. This is what it is. And you just referenced it, Julio. Those names, the Fenway Group, the Glazers. Hell, LeBron's part of one of the ownership groups. I forgot which one he's a part of. Is it like Liverpool? I think LeBron's part of one of them. Regardless, this has American fingerprints all over it. So one thing we're really good at exporting. Greed.
Too big to fail, right?
Pretty much.
Our brand is too big to be relegated. Our brand is too big not to be included in the Champions League, which is where the money can be for these clubs.
It's the equivalent of what we see in the NFL. There are clubs that you know don't really bother competing because they know they're still cashing NFL television checks.
Preseason, too, yeah.
There's a reason.
Because these teams would still compete in their normal leagues.
Yeah.
They would just have this automatic ticket to their Super League, so... Mm-hmm. There is some question there about incentivizing the actual what we would consider regular season games.
Totally fascinating and totally understandable why people who appreciate European soccer are mad as hell about this. Mike Maniscalco, play-by-play for Bally Sports, which we simulcast here on 99.9 The Fan. Mike, what's up, man?
I didn't realize that Bud Kilmer was coaching at Tennessee State when we were covering the Wolf Pack way back when. Hi, guys. How are you?
I was going to say, how long have you lived in North Carolina now, Mike?
13 years.
You haven't developed an accent yet, man. What's
no,
up?
No, and I lived in Richmond, Virginia for six and
That's
a half
right.
before that. So, yeah, I've been in the South for 20 years, and at no point have I had a conversation with any aspiring young broadcaster and went, no, son.
You
just ain't good enough. So
Yanni Hockenpah seems good enough.
Yeah, this has been when, you know, it's funny. People look at additions and trade deadlines, and, you know, there's always big splashy moves to be made, and everybody always wants their team to be in on it, and guys, we always get that. But for the Canes, with how this team was set up going into the trade deadline a Monday ago, they didn't have a lot of wiggle room as far as salary cap. They would have had to, you know, trade out salaries for salaries, and you always have to consider what the other team is looking for. But this team had been on the watch for a right shot defenseman who has some snarl and bite to his game and can play physical. And they found that guy in Anaheim. And what the Canes did have, and we always talk about their surplus of defensemen, they had three guys in that 5-6 pairing who are kind of the same in Hayden Fleury, Jake Bean, and Jake Gardner. So that made one of them expendable to get what they want. And Hockenpah has fit right in with this team. Now, of course, you know, we still have the protocols to go through, but everything that the players have said about him, everything he said about coming into the system, it's worked great. And nothing like getting your first ever game-winning goal in your second game with your new team. So he's a good fit. He was exactly what the team needed. And while, yes, they give up Hayden Fleury, who is a former first-rounder for Yanni Hockenpah, it was a good fit. It fit a need for this team, and I think it'll be a good thing for Hayden Fleury down the line too. But for in the moment, it's exactly what the doctor ordered for the Canes on the blue line.
Mike Maniscalco, Bally Sports, joining us here on the OG. You can listen to him tonight right here on 99.9 The Fan. Canes play at Tampa at 7 o'clock. Mike, when the Canes aren't playing Tampa or Florida, I worry about their focus, but I guess I don't have to worry about that tonight with a date with the Lightning. Two games here that feel a little bit like a setup for the playoffs, at least.
Yeah, no, it has that feel. You also don't have to worry about it against Nashville, where they're 6-0 against
right.
the Predators this year.
Basically, it's that April 29th game against Detroit I should worry about.
Yeah. You know, that's you know, and to quote our good friend Steve Logan, well, you know, the other team wants to win too. There's your Southern accent.
No, there you go.
But yeah, this is, I think for the Canes, they understand looking at Tampa, this is where they want to be. And this is who they need to knock off to be king of the mountain. So yeah, I think that the focus will be there. And it wasn't like the focus wasn't there against Detroit, even though the game that they lost, and I will not disagree with the head coach, Rod Brindamore, when he said it was the grossest game that they played this season. It was. But, you know, when you go back and you look at it, they still had a chance going into the third period to win the game. So it wasn't like they got their doors blown off. Tonight, though, against Tampa, even though Tampa is down Steven Stamkos, they haven't had Nikita Kucherov all year, you have to be on your game pretty much every shift. Because if not, Tampa, would they do better than anybody? And Rod Brindamore talked about it today. Everybody thinks they're this skill and finesse team, but they don't mind pounding the other team if they have to. They'll throw the puck in the zone and go after it and make your defensemen turn their backs to go get the puck. And that's how they play. They have the skill, but they also play with a wear-you-down mentality. So the Canes will be focused tonight because if not, this is a game that Tampa Bay could run away with, like we've seen them do so many times the past three seasons. But the Canes, their attention will be to detail tonight for sure.
Mike Maniscalco, Bally Sports, joining us on the OG alongside Joe Giglio. I'm Joe Ovius. A couple housekeeping items. I would assume that the Carolina Hurricanes did not make a move for forward at the trade deadline because they were optimistic Teuvo Teravainen was going to come back. I know he was dressed and practicing with the team. He's on this trip, right?
Yes, he is.
So yeah, is there an updated timeline on his possible return?
The only thing that that we have been told, and it's what everybody's been told, is that the ball is really in his court to say yes,
okay.
That he's ready to go. And the thing about players with concussions, I always hesitate to say, well, this is what the timeline should be, because if all three of us had a concussion, all three of us will recover from it differently.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, like I've had to say a few times this year, this isn't a knee. You know, this isn't a shoulder where, you know, X and Y, and then we can tell you Z. It really is now up to to Teuvo Teravainen when he says he feels good. And Rod actually said that today. He goes, if he tells us he's ready to go, we'll find a way to put him in the lineup. So,
Mike Maniscalco, Bally Sports, joining us here on the OG. The other is related to who's in net. The last time we talked, I think you and I were both in agreement that, hey, look, you got a two-day break coming up. Put Reimer in. You got to keep him frosty, right?
Yep.
But now that you got Tampa and you're in this condensed portion of the schedule again, my guess is they're going to go with the two goalies that they feel strongly about. That obviously is Alex Nedeljkovic and Peter Mrazek. Mrazek's going to be in net tonight, right?
Yeah, it's Peter tonight. Alex Nedeljkovic will be the backup. And then, you know, tomorrow, we'll find out tomorrow.
Yeah.
If I were a betting man, I would probably lean towards Alex Nedeljkovic, just how well he's played the last few games. But all three goalies are on the roster. And I don't think that there's a set rotation. I think they're going to talk about it. I think that they're going to say, okay, how can we keep, and if we're going to go down the road and say, all right, James Reimer has become the third of the three, where do we spot him where it doesn't take the other two out of rhythm, if that's how we're going to go? So you'll see James Reimer in the nets again this year. There's no doubt about that. And just because I think the way that the schedule is, guys, when you're running down the stretch here, you have so many games in such a condensed space of time, and you're still trying to figure out, you know, for Peter Mrazek, do you want to give him maybe a little bit more extra, you know, one extra day still coming off of the thumb surgery that he had. But we put it on the broadcast the other night, and I don't know how many people are into Greek mythology, but, you know, this is like the Cerberus. It's a three-headed monster, you know, the three-headed dog protecting the gates of hell. Let him just run, and when you get to the playoffs, then you can really narrow it down to your two. But I think you'll probably see Nedeljkovic and Mrazek get the majority of the starts, with James Reimer getting spot starts here just to keep him sharp, because we've seen it with everybody this year. A goaltender can go down at any moment, so you have to have guys ready to play.
Mike, some people get a law degree on Netflix. I'm curious, did you get an audio forensic specialist degree on Netflix during the pandemic?
At some point in time, I had a lot of time on my hands, Joe. No, I did not.
Not one of those, though? Can you solve the Sugar Boo mystery?
Who ended up saying Sugar Boo for Marty Natchez?
So Brett Pesce
said
Sugar Boo to Marty Natchez, not Andre Svechnikov.
Got it. Big Dua Lipa fan?
Whoever was in the tunnel thought it was Andre Svechnikov. And, of course, Mike Solarte, playing the role of William Peterson from CSI,
tried
to break it for all of us. And then, you know, Svech is the witness, is the suspect who didn't even know he was.
He's the one at the beginning of the episode who clearly didn't do it. Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, as far as Sugar Boo goes, yes, we have run it through all of the machinery. We have the ability. Much like a great episode of Ghost Adventures. Did you hear that? And then we figured out who was saying what.
Has Trip Tracy determined whether or not Dua Lipa is a huge caniac?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
You're behind on this one, Joe. That's about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks
ago. Oh, was it? Yeah. Okay, sorry.
Oh, yeah. She's in. And of course, that's where, you know, Sugar Boo comes
that's
from.
That's where it's from, right?
She wrote that with the Carolina Hurricanes in mind. Oh, I almost went to Southern accent. Carolina for you.
Carolina? So. All right, yeah. We'll close on that. Mike Maniscalco.
You'll never make it.
Mike Maniscalco, Canes play-by-play, Bally Sports. All right, man, have fun tonight. We'll listen to you on the radio.
All right, guys, thank you.
Let's tell you our hot and cold of the weekend.
You know what's going to happen, right?
What?
Julio's going to be done with Zags, and this new guy is going to lead him to the championship
next
year.
Oh, yeah, no, that's totally happening. Totally happening, man.
It's not happening.
All right, Jillio, do you have your hot? You have your cold? You want me to start?
Go ahead, you start.
All right, let's actually start with the cold of the weekend. Zion Williamson.
Cold?
What are you doing, buddy?
Oh, making the Knicks thirsty.
Why are you doing this? Why are you trying to make Knicks fans thirsty? Here's Zion Williamson, Pelicans, talking about playing at Madison Square Garden.
New York is the mecca of basketball. I love playing here. When I played here in college, and this is my first time playing here in the pros, and I mean, this atmosphere, you know, whether they're cheering for you, whether they're booing for you, it's amazing. Honestly, I think outside of New Orleans, obviously, I think this might be my favorite place to play outside of New Orleans. I can't even lie to you.
So what ends up happening is Zion goes into the New York sports atmosphere, They talk about it. It'll be a headline. Oh, Zion Williamson wants to be with the Knicks. Why do Knicks fans do this to themselves all the time?
You think they would have learned from LeBron?
Well, not just
that
LeBron.
That was a long thirst trap.
That, and LeBron actually made it his mission to just clown the Knicks in their own building. There's a difference between liking to play in Madison Square Garden and wanting to be a Knick. Like, people can understand the difference between this, right? And LeBron James would always show out in New York because he knew it was something that he would be teasing Knicks fans with. You're never going to get this. He had special shoes. You're never going to get this. The biggest indictment on the Knicks and whether or not you're going to get your fantasy scenarios to play out, I mean, for heaven's sake, Kevin Durant. They fumbled that. Remember, they even
ended up in Brooklyn instead.
They even put Kevin Durant in the form of a season ticket package, for heaven's sake. And they tried to play it off like, oh, no. It's just, you know, he could be playing here on an away game. No. You were trying to tip that you were trying to get Kevin Durant. Didn't work out. So, Zion, dude, don't do this, man. Don't do that to Knicks fans. They're enjoying their season. Anyway, who's your cold?
My cold is the Atlanta Braves. Jonathan Rand's Atlanta Braves.
Whoa.
Every single time I wager or Mikey and Bayonne wagers on them this year, they lose. And yet, when I stay away from them, we're going to score 13 runs yesterday. They had four home runs in the first inning yesterday. Shout out to Bryce Wilson, though. Picked up the win in his first start of the season. But, yeah, Braves, make up your mind. Are you good? Are you bad? I don't get it. They keep sandwiching these winning streaks around four-game losing streaks. So
that's fair.
I'm over it.
My hot of the weekend goes to Yami Hakanpa of the Carolina Hurricanes. Both figuratively and literally. Hakanpa made himself known in this first game with the Carolina Hurricanes with a nice big hit. But then he scored a goal in a very tight game off a faceoff and just ripped it past the Nashville goalie. And when I say literally, no, he's literally hot to a lot of people. Speaking of thirst, my timeline was thirsty for Yanni Hakanpa. His first post-game interview, the still made the rounds on my social media feed.
So hot right now.
Yanni Hakanpa.
He's heating up in this game.
So hot right now. Thirsty people, man. It's hilarious. Man. He's a good-looking dude, though.
Good-looking dude.
He's out there with that beard. I got beard envy.
Strong beard game.
Strong.
He's rugged good-looking as opposed to Trevor Lawrence, who is a little bit on the softer side.
Sure.
Dude, right?
However you want it.
No helmet hair for Yanni Hakanpa at all. Just saying.
Actually, shout out to Alex Nedeljkovic, who inadvertently inspired us for our younger son who plays House League. You've seen Jacob's hair.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. I mean, he's got a mane on him. So we've had all sorts of difficulty trying to keep the helmet on and not have the hair. We've tried the hair wraps, the ties, all that stuff. His hair just, it doesn't want to work. But then we went to the Canes game on Saturday, and Kelly's watching Alex Nedeljkovic squirt water all over his hair, wetting it down, and then putting the helmet on. And Kelly goes, I haven't tried that. So for Sunday's game, that's exactly what she did. Poured water all over Jacob's hair, put the helmet on, worked like a charm. So shout out to Alex Nedeljkovic for inspiring Kelly.
Nice.
Who's your hot of the weekend?
If only Jacob knew someone who was a master in hair care products.
He doesn't want to use product, though.
If only he
that's
knew
the thing.
Someone.
He doesn't want to use product like you. Like, I can't keep you around anything. Speaking of hot, if you're by a heating lamp, I'm afraid that your hair might actually go up in flame like a Christmas tree, a dried-out Christmas tree.
Lacquer. However, good content.
For?
In general.
Jillio's hair, hair tips.
I mean, like, you would do that for the clicks, right, Jillio?
No.
Oh, all right. Oh,
okay, all right. So who's your hot?
My hot is Stuart Sink for winning the RBC Heritage. Third time he's won there in Hilton Head, not because he won fairly easily, Joe, but he had his son, Reagan, as his caddy. So pretty cool moment for a 47-year-old, Joe. They don't win very often on the tour. So it's actually his second win since the restart.
My favorite part of that, Stuart Sink and his kid, is that they took their hats off.
Yeah.
And they had the exact same golf head tan line. The exact same thing. It's hilarious. Nice father-son moment.
That was cool.
It's time for a new game.
Let's talk about UNC. Let's talk about Mike Krzyzewski's scheme. Let's talk about Dom and Dave, Mac and Cuddy, and Coach Keats. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about Let's talk about.
So cheesy, I love it. We've got a Plinko board, and it's going to tell us what we're going to talk about. On the Plinko board, Jillia, we have Brad Stevens. Apparently, he was offered a lot of money to coach Indiana, and he said no. Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson's going to come back to NC State for the commencement. Somebody named Jake Paul. He was in the news over the weekend. We could take calls. Those are the zeros on the Plinko board. The $10,000 Plinko board section, the middle one is, we must confess something. We have to confess something.
Ooh.
All right. We have Super League. European soccer clubs, elite super European soccer clubs want to join their own group, break off from UEFA. We got the Nard Dog. Apparently, you started a conversation as to whether or not Pat Narduzzi is a good coach at Pitt.
Oh, I thought you meant Leonard Freeman.
No, and I'm also not talking about the character from The Office.
Andy Bernard.
And the Yankees stink. As somebody pointed out, soul for a soul. The Knicks are good. Somebody must pay the price. And it happens to be the Yankees. Oh, did you think the Knicks were going to be good and everything was going to be awesome in New York? Oh, no, 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 no. Somebody's got to suffer for that. So, oh, I forgot. The Plinko board, which shout out to our promotions director, Mikey Wald, for acquiring this, has music to it.
What?
Yes. Very exciting.
Yes.
Let's go. Super League.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
You ready to talk about Super League, Jillian?
Absolutely.
All right, so this is what happened. Over the weekend, elite European soccer clubs announced that they're going to form their own league. They're going to call it the Super League. So far, it's 12 of the biggest clubs in the sport. You know these names. Man City, Man United, Real Madrid, Tottenham, Liverpool, the old Juventus, if you will. So they're all going to break off, and they want to get up to 15 founding members. This would target one of the German league teams, mainly Bayern Munich. I think one of the French leagues as well. And they want to get up to 15, and then they would add 5 on a rotating basis dependent upon whatever qualifying process they want to implement. And this would lead to 2 10-team scheduling rotations, and this would compete directly with the UEFA Champions League. Now, your problem, well, what's the problem here? Well, you see, in Europe, they actually do sports the way that we Americans talk about sports. The little guy can always put in the hard work, draft well, acquire the right types of players, get the right type of coach, and they can work their way up to a championship. That's not how it works in this country.
In any sport.
In any sport.
Actually, Indiana State high school basketball, but I think they've changed those rules too.
Okay. In Europe, for soccer specifically, it's a pyramid. And you have these independent teams that join these federations, yeah, but they can also bounce around and do things like the UEFA Champions League. Well, you see, all these teams are sick and tired of being held back.
But they have to win to get into the Champions League.
That's right.
They're not just selected. They got to earn their way there.
Well, these 12 teams don't want to do that anymore.
They just want to do their own thing.
And they want to make more money.
Huh. That's weird.
Because they would make more money off of doing this than they would winning the Champions League.
Who would have come up with that idea to kind of like spit in the face of 150 years of history of professional football?
Us.
Who would have come up with that? I mean,
we would.
Oh, John Henry and the Fenway Sports Group. Huh. The Glazer family. Huh. Weird. Stan Kroenke. Huh. The guy moved out of St. Louis to L.A. to build a boondoggle stadium. Huh. That's weird.
American ownership wants to just screw with their... Wow, I am shocked by this. The best way...
I'm floored.
The best way... This understandably has people upset. European soccer fans upset. And if you have any basic understanding of how it works, they really take pride in the local aspect of this. It would be the equivalent of the ACC fans being upset that the ACC they grew up with had been blown up because of expansion, chasing money. But then let's take it to a nuke option, right? This goes beyond just something as simple as ACC expansion and ruining the league that you love for basketball for the sake of football, right?
This would because these teams would still compete in the Premier League and the Serie A and the other leagues.
This would be the equivalent of Duke and Carolina playing an ACC schedule, taking part in an ACC tournament, but when it came to NCAA tournament time, all right, boys, you have fun doing your NCAA tournament. We're going to go join Kentucky and Kansas and any number of other blue blood college basketball programs, and we're going to have our own 16-team super tournament.
Would they invite Virginia?
No.
No, they wouldn't.
They absolutely
would
not.
No, they wouldn't.
No, they wouldn't invite Virginia.
UCLA is back, though.
I don't even think they would get invited.
No, they're in the Final Four this year, so.
I'm trying to think of the 16 teams.
That's what I'm saying. You have a hard time naming all of the really good ones, right?
I'm trying to think of like 16 college basketball programs that would be off doing their own thing. Carolina and Duke.
Kentucky, Kansas.
Kentucky,
that's four.
Kansas.
I mean, they're.
After that, I mean, what else are we talking about here?
Well, you know, sometimes people love to say Syracuse.
Ohio State.
Michigan State.
Oh, yeah, Michigan State.
They claim to be whatever.
Do you involve Texas because they've got money?
I don't know. UConn's got all the championships. No one ever talks about them.
Would you invite new money like Gonzaga? Probably not.
I'm sorry. I've never heard of that program. I don't know what you're talking about.
They're dead to you on that front.
We have six, by the way. I mean, you can go UCLA, Indiana, get you to eight.
Ugh.
Seriously, Joe. Ohio State, Michigan gets you to 10. I mean, there's 10.
There's no way.
Then you could rotate the other six.
That's right, that you rotate the other six.
Yeah.
So you meet whatever requirements you meet. Maybe that's how Virginia gets invited.
Sure, because they're the defending. Oh, no, they're the reigning. Oh, no, they're not. I forgot. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Whatever makes you feel good, buddy.
Yeah, man. What is what it is.
It does make me feel good out of here. They're nonsense for how many years.
Well, that wraps up Let's Talk About. We got on that Super League. You want to play one more time real quick?
Sure. Do you know how to rig the board or no?
No, it's Plinko. There's no way.
Start on the second, and it'll go to the middle.
So you want to confess?
Russell Wilson!
Oh! Russell Wilson time!
So Russell Wilson, the last time we heard him give a graduation speech was 2016, but he was at Wisconsin, Joe. That was the Badgers part of the whole pack of Badgers. NC State announced today that Russell will be back for May 15th for NC State's commencement this spring. My only question is, are we getting the Tom O'Brien impersonation again, or are we getting a new superhero origin story this time?
Yeah, he's going to have to.
Because don't forget, Elliot Avent wasn't spared in the other speech either.
He wasn't?
I wasn't played enough. I didn't get a chance in baseball, but the one time I got to play,
Russell,
I hit a home run in extra innings.
Russell's totally going to play it cool, man, at NC State.
This time.
No, son. You won't see the field.
Yeah. No, son. But Tom O'Brien never talked like that.
We knew something was up, though, with the wolf. What was it again? It takes a wolf to catch a wolf.
You know, it's funny you mention that. When you started getting some information that Russell Wilson was going to be the commencement speaker for NC State's spring commencement. And when you told me that last week, I immediately thought about that social media clip about it takes a wolf to go get a wolf and all that stuff, which had zero context to it. And also,
it was a random tweet.
It was a random tweet. There was no context to it. It was also lacking context because that clip came from the movie Training Day. And the speech is given by Denzel Washington's character, who's not a good person.
Maybe we'll get a Training Day or another 50 Shades of Grey speech.
What's the over-under on if he howls? Like if he does the wolf howl? What's the over-under? You don't think so?
No.
Uh-oh.
Oh!
Oh!
Fault! Look, you gotta make sure
it's a fault.
Look.
No, it's in the slot.
It's not. Oh, there's a thing to it.
Here we go.
All right, otherwise, it falls.
The Nard Dog!
Andy Bernard! No?
Not Andy. So, on Saturday morning, I posted the contract details for Dave Doran, NC State's football coach, on WRALSportsFan.com. And I did the same thing I did when Hubert Davis' contract information was out. I showed where he would rank among other ACC coaches.
Yeah.
Unbeknownst to me, I had started some sort of argument with Pitt fans about Pat Narduzzi.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know what's going on right now. How did I get myself into this situation?
Is he a good coach or not?
He's basically Dave Doran, isn't he? I mean, he wins a little bit more. Well, actually, his ACC record is superior to Dave Doran's now. Mm-hmm. He plays on the other side of the division. He doesn't have an annual loss to Clemson on his ledger every year. Although the last time...
Isn't it the annual loss to North Carolina?
Well,
I always feel like North Carolina plays their best game against Pitt, and if my recollection is correct, they always seem to crush Duke.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, but look, he was the third highest paid coach, for at least for 2020.
Yeah.
And that doesn't include any of his sneaker money and all that other stuff. So... I think people were just surprised to see him be three. It was Dabo Swinney, obviously number one. Justin Fuente, who had a recent deal with Virginia Tech. Yeah, some of this is recency, Joe. But yeah. It depends on when you get your contract. And then Narduzzi was third. And his ACC record, like, it's good. And they've won their division because everybody's won the division. But, like, people get mad at him because I think it was he hasn't finished in the top 25 yet. He might not even have a bowl win or something like that.
There's
something strange.
There's something called the Pitt super weapon, all thanks to what Pat Narduzzi has been able to do with the Panthers.
They have one bowl win. He's lost his last two bowl games.
But they will always ruin a season for somebody, and that goes a long way, and that's probably why he should get paid money.
He's 29-20 in the ACC.
He's pretty good, man.
He's only had one losing record in ACC play out of 7 years.
Yeah.
It's time for Rant 2.
Acapella the news.
Speaking of the new cane, fellas, Jani Hakanpaa from Kirkkonummi, Finland. I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce it, but that's how I'm going to pronounce it. And this song I'm going to sing about him. Maybe we did some Chuck Berry today, boys. Jani, be good. Oh, yeah.
The land of the Finns, that's where our Hakanpaa story begins. Took him a little while to reach the NHL, but it was worth the wait as far as we can tell. Just needed a righty who could hit like he should, and when he got to Carolina, we said, Jani, be good. Go, 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 Jani, go, go. Someone, but it had to be done. And coming here from Anaheim's a lot more fun. Here you get to surgeon, though it might be weird. You can smile when people comment on your hair and beard. We'd be okay if you scored some more. Just be cool with all the memes of you and Thor. Go, go!
So many Thor memes this weekend.
There was a lot of them. Well done, Rand.
Thanks. I had some other great suggestions from other great people who were currently mad at me, but it's fine.
Somebody needs to learn that it's okay that not all ideas are being used. It's no indictment on him.
I use another one of his ideas later in the show, so
sure.
It's going to be good.
You notice how he clams up? Like he gives you the silent treatment.
It's okay. He'll warm back up to me soon.
How old are you, Julio? I'm going to my room now. I'm not talking to you.
You've been listening to the Best of the OG with Ovius and Julio podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Brought to you by Capital Financial Advisory Group. Get your total retirement income plan by texting JOE to 21000. Don't forget, this podcast drops every weekday at 6 p.m. And you can find it at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL Sports Fan app, or you can subscribe for free at the iTunes and Google Play stores.